Hello, Cubs fans. This is David in Alexandria, Virginia, and this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. You can learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me right here in the studio, Studio A, is one of the other hosts of this podcast.
Yeah, Studios B through D were in use, so we had to go with A today. But that's okay, because it's the flagship studio.
It is. Well, kind of. Flagship B. Studio A, flagship B. Of course, you and I don't record in the same room very often, what, maybe three or four times a year?
Yeah, this is a rarity.
So we have that weird eye contact thing to deal with for the next 45 minutes or hour.
I don't do good with eye contact.
No, me neither. I'm just going to look at my computer if that's all right with you. So our Sunday episodes typically go longer, but this one should be shorter. Andy's here because we're heading down to the South Bend Cubs game down in Peoria. They're playing the Peoria Chiefs. And we're looking forward to meeting up with some Central Illinois listeners down there. We have some player interviews planned while we're down there. And the one thing I've learned about doing interviews with minor league baseball players is that you don't know for sure that you have that interview until you're standing in front of them talking to them.
Yeah, and those guys have had a kind of a crazy weekend with all the rain and the extra innings that they've played. You know, for example, I know some of the players in yesterday's game got 7 at-bats.
Yeah.
Because it went so long.
Well, and they, last night's game went 16 innings. They've worked in a doubleheader. And they've been dealing with rain even that series before Peoria when they were down in Burlington. So it's been a pretty tough road stretch for those guys, I would imagine.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know we have a few guys that we're scheduled to talk to, but yeah, we don't really know if that is going to happen as planned or, you know, but right.
A bad game by someone might mean that they say no, thank you.
Sure.
So we'll see. There's a lot of variables that come into play with minor league teams and how they operate and just kind of the, I don't know, they deal with a lot. That's a tough, you know, I talk with the media people for the different affiliates and stuff like that, even, you know, especially Nathan, Believa, that's with the Peoria Chiefs, and obviously we worked with them quite a bit when they were with the Cubs, and it's kind of crazy to hear some of the stuff that they a lot of times they don't stay, like the Chiefs would not stay in towns, like if it was anywhere close to driving distance, they would make 3 trips, and I just can't imagine that much time on the road. I feel bad for all those players and, you know, people that work for the team, but. So we're meeting up with listeners down there in Peoria tonight, and we've got some more of these meetups kind of popping up all over the place. So I wanted to run through them real quick. So if you're in any of these areas, you know about them. Last episode, I mentioned the Cubs Fans in Oklahoma Facebook group, and they are doing a game watch in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Friday, June 26th, and I will be there in Tulsa for that. And I'm really looking forward to hanging out with those guys and watching the Cubs. And so if you're in Oklahoma or Kansas, you want to drive to Oklahoma, yeah, whatever, definitely check it out. For more information, you can join the Cubs Fans in Oklahoma Facebook group. Just search for it in Facebook, or you can email me, Corey@IVNV.com. Then in July, I'm going to do a few more meetups while I'm on the road. The first one hasn't been set up yet. It will be in Southern California, probably Orange County or Riverside County, maybe. And I would imagine here in the next week or so, we'll get that figured out, work with Chris and some of those other guys in Southern California and see if we can't hammer it out. And then in July, I'll be meeting up with some of our Colorado listeners. And the plan is to meet up at the Rockies-Reds game. So that should be kind of fun. Just go to a ball game where you don't care too much about either team. I mean, I'd like to see the Reds
lose. Yeah.
But that'll be fun. So Michael from Colorado said that they have some sort of patio there in Denver where you can buy tickets the day of the game. So that should be fun. So that's on Friday, July 24th. That's the plan. So again, I've heard from a couple people that are interested in that. And so this is the first time you're hearing about it and you live in any of these areas and you'd like more information, just get a hold of me. And also what I'm doing is I'm running some sales on our t-shirts for people that are going to the meetups. That way, you know, we don't have to mess with shipping or anything like that. And so if that's also something that if you would like me to bring a t-shirt for you for any of these meetups, get a hold of me too. And I kind of forget to mention that we have t-shirts. I don't know why I forget to mention that.
Yeah, so we have those.
We do. So if you would be interested in an IVMV t-shirt, you can go to ivmv.com/store to check those out. And since we're on the topic of events, the Cubs bus trip that we're doing, leaving from the Quad Cities up to Wrigley Field, that's August 8th, and are tickets still available. You can go to ivmv.com/bus for information. And I want to say a quick congratulations to Brian and Noel Smith.
Yeah, we found out that our bus trips can lead to love.
Yes. What's funny is they've been together for like 4 years, and it didn't really dawn on me that they had met or their first date or whatever was our bus trip until the minister said it during the ceremony. I was like, really?
Yeah, the homily was pretty like heavy on the Cubs. Yeah. As far as the topic.
Yeah,
not so much love, just more like Cubs heavy. But yeah, congratulations to them.
Yeah, we got to go to their wedding yesterday, and it was a really nice wedding, a lot of fun, and I was happy. We got to bring a couple. I don't know. I wouldn't say we brought them together. We helped facilitate the very beginning stages of their relationship.
Probably Rookie of the Year, watching Rookie of the Year on the bus, couldn't have hurt. Right.
So, you know, if you're single and you're looking for a partner, looking for love, the IVMV bus trip might be the way to go.
Have you been looking for love in all the wrong places? Well, try looking for love in the right place, the IVMV bus trip.
Forget Match.com and whatever else is out there. Tinder? No. We should create an IVMV Tinder app.
Swipe right for the IVMV bus trip? I don't know which way is good. Is left good or is right good?
No idea. Not a clue. I can proudly say I have no idea, really. Well, I just know it exists, and I'm not real sure what it is.
Just glad. It's like a relief. I don't have to deal with that. Right, right.
You know, sometimes people on Tinder like denim. Yeah. Remember that person we went to spring training and that guy in front of us was on his Tinder his phone and he said he likes denim.
Oh yeah, that was one of his he liked sports and he liked denim. And that's it. Don't talk to him about music.
One more event here to get through real quick. That is our annual Weekend at the Lake, and this is a weekend long party that we throw here at our place. We will record a podcast episode. You're welcome to hang out in the studio with us while we do that. There's fishing, swimming, paddle boats, camping, campfires, wiffle ball bags. We'll go to Duffy's to watch a Cubs game. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite weekends of the summer, is just to get a bunch of people out here and have fun. So there is a Facebook event for the Weekend at the Lake. And again, this is probably a family friendly event, I would imagine. So if you have, I don't know, I don't think we've had our kids here in the past, I think maybe we did.
Yeah, I've had my son out here one time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of stuff for the kids to do and stuff. So, there's a Facebook event for the Weekend at the Lake, and I will include it in the show notes for this episode. And then I'll be sharing it out on Facebook and Twitter and stuff too. One more thing here before we get into Cubs talk. Running a little long here, but I thought you guys would. You know that I really came to appreciate Valbuena and his bat flip, and he has made me really appreciate the bat flip and take great pleasure. And I get giddy when I watch a good bat flip. This week in T-ball, I had to assign my daughter an automatic out because she bat flipped.
What? No. Oh, no.
Yep. So.
How was the flip itself? I mean, obviously.
It hit the catcher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So I had to draw the line there.
If it hadn't hit the catcher.
I probably still would have called her out because it
was showboating or bad sportsmanship or.
She didn't know. It was less of a, I just crushed the hell out of this ball and more of follow through with the swing and throw the bat kind of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I pretended it was a bat flip.
Yeah. Had a little flourish to it.
She didn't take it very well. I stopped her like 10 steps into running to first base and told her she was out.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little embarrassing.
It's a hard moment.
It is, but it's a learning moment.
Sure.
You save that showboating till the next level up. We don't showboat in T-ball.
Save it. Don't you dare show me a 30-second home run try.
Right, right. All right, so the Cubs are kind of in the, I guess they're towards the end of this Red Series. There's one more game left.
Tonight.
ESPN2 national broadcasts in a row. So that kind of tells you that people are interested in the Cubs.
And they're relevant on a national
stage. Right. And unfortunately, those are two broadcasts that you and I will not be able to watch.
Yeah, I know. I kind of wanted. Well, I heard that the broadcast last night was pretty frustrating with Eric Karros provided the color. And I just saw on Twitter a lot of people were pretty upset over his treatment of Castro and some of the other players. Just
yeah.
And then at the end, he said that Castro redeemed himself after he'd kind of trashed him the entire broadcast.
Yeah, I obviously didn't get to watch it. We were at that wedding, but I loved, I mean, let's just kind of few comments on this Red Series. Yeah. I love Castro so much.
I like him.
And
yeah.
I think a lot of the reason that I like him is because there's so much hate about him. And this is a conversation we've been having here on the podcast for the last month or so, but I would really like to see Castro. I think there are legitimate complaints, and we heard some on our last episode. Two episodes ago. There are some legitimate complaints with Castro, and I would like to see Castro just kind of improve in the areas that he probably does need to improve in. You know, just because I think there are some areas of weakness in his game, and I was talking with my mom last night, and after Castro hit the game winning single, and she kind of commented that it seems like late in the game, Castro's not real reliable.
Yeah.
And I think that's somewhat true. And that's what made me kind of happy to see him do it last night.
Yeah. You know, maybe that's a good sign in that regard. And one of my absolute favorite moments in this entire, you know, these past 4 days or so was the Castro home run on Friday.
Yeah.
I watched that clip a number of times because I loved Len's call of it. I just love, he just absolutely destroyed that ball onto Waveland.
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest home runs I've seen all season. The other one being, I guess the top two home runs I've seen this season would be that one. And then Bryant's home run that hit the scoreboard. Oh, and then honorable mention to Javier Baez's home run in Iowa the day before he got injured. But man, that was a thing of beauty, that homer.
Right, and that's power that you don't normally see out of Castro.
Sure, I mean, it was an obvious mistake pitch by Cueto. And
he just jumped all over it.
He made him pay, yeah. And I couldn't stop watching the clip. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's nice to see. And really, just in general, Castro he's hitting a lot fewer ground balls here. You know, he's getting the ball up in the air more. And he does hit the ball hard. And so, you know, I think you hit the ball hard and you get it up in the air and you hit some gap doubles and just some real solid base hits. And it seems like here in the last week or two, he's really kind of started to heat it up a little bit and seems like he's playing better. Maybe more so in the last week.
It still seems like he's rolling over and grounding into a lot of double plays still. I've heard people refer to him as a double play machine and things like that. But when he can drive the ball.
Well, and I mean, we talked about this early in the season when he was hitting the ball pretty well, was that he was going with outside pitches.
Right.
And hitting the opposite way.
The Jason Hamill approach.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of Jason Hamill, that dude is let me see. He's 8 for 32 this season at the plate.
He's the new T Wood.
Yeah. he's been helping his own cause quite a bit. So that's pretty cool. But back to Castro winning.
Well, hold on before we go. Yeah. While we're on Hamill, watching him go first to third was awesome. That he was. Were you Did you happen to watch that game?
Well, he went first to home, right?
Or yeah, that's what I mean. First to home.
Yeah,
it was awesome to see. And he kind of ran out of gas. And you forget how tall that guy is.
Yeah,
I mean, when he's running the base paths, it really kind of stands out, like how gigantic he is. But yeah, when he rounded third, I was like, oh man, I hope he makes it. I just kind of picture myself just like pulling up about 20 feet short, like that's all I got.
Well, JD had some funny commentary on that replay too, because he said something like a lot of pitchers coming around third like that will kind of run out of gas. But he had more of a funny analogy for it. But yeah, Hamill just trucked on through, put a good slide down. You could see, I love the replay because you could see the fans like motioning for him to get down. But yeah, he got put a good slide down there.
But it was important because, I don't remember if that made it 3-2 or 2-2. I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but the Cubs needed those runs.
Yeah, because they scored two in that inning, right? I think they went 3-3. It was 3-0, and they scored two to make it 3-2 in that inning. I think Hamels was the second run, maybe, of the inning. And, that game was frustrating. It felt like they should have won that, especially after after they had tied the game. Jay Bruce robbed that hit by Herrera into right center field, and they would have won the game on that hit.
So this is Friday's game that we're talking about.
Yeah.
That was a frustrating game. And I think that's one of them. In paying attention to Cubs Twitter afterwards, it was kind of a tough loss to handle because you felt like the Cubs really could have had that one.
Yeah.
But it's just, I keep going back to this, but it's just nice that you have that kind of expectation to win these games, and the losses really sting. Over the last couple of years, the losses didn't really sting.
Right.
It was just like, whatever. They lost again.
As expected.
Right.
And
that's what I think it's really kind of a good sign that some of these losses sting.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good point.
So,
I'm a little more frustrated after some of these close losses, but the Cubs have also been getting a lot of pretty close wins too, which is, close wins. They've played a lot of close games this season.
Yeah.
We were talking about how Castro's walk-off hit. That game started to have kind of a last year feel to it after they came back from the rain delay.
Mm-hmm.
James Russell promptly gives up a 2-run homer to tie the ball game. And the Cubs threatened in the eighth inning and didn't get anything out of that. And finally, in the bottom of the ninth, Castro comes through with that big hit. They are so much more competitive. You feel like they could win any given game.
Right.
And I said they played a lot of close games, but the cool thing is they finally got a blowout on Wednesday night against the Tigers.
Yeah, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, and which I've expected them. I kind of expected them to get more of these type of blowouts, as the season goes on. I'm sure they will. But that game was pretty awesome. Montero hit a 3-run homer. Coughlin hit a 3-run homer. Speaking of Montero, dude is tearing it up in the past four games. Were you going to say something about this?
No.
In the last four games, he has 7 hits, 3 home runs, and 8 RBI.
Yeah.
Guy is killing it. And he's, he was on kind of a rough stretch there right before that. So he's kind of snapping out of that in style. And he's been on fire the past few games.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun to watch. Any other comments on this Red series?
Yeah, couple things. I guess we should talk about Wada had another bad start.
Yeah.
In fact, let me
jump ahead. We have some listener questions. I didn't ask for them, but we've gotten some through email. And someone's calling in one right now. let's see here. There's a question kind of on that. Let me find it here. Sorry. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Michael, from Colorado. He said, What do you think about using Wada, Wood, and Edwin Jackson for 3 innings each as the fifth starter? No bullpen, just give them each 3 innings no matter what happens. Doesn't have to be the same order each game.
That's an interesting thought, and I'm pretty sure he actually wrote up an article about and kind of answering his own question. He does these reckless recaps for Sunranto. So you could seek that out if you're interested in his thoughts on that. But I don't really like the idea because I think there's a lot to a starting pitcher getting a rhythm going. You know, how often do we see games where, a starting pitcher will sort of have a little bit of a rough start, but then they sort of get on track and they...
That's not really the case with Wada, though.
Right.
He's kind of the opposite. He's good the first time or two through a lineup.
The third time a team sees him, they have pretty ridiculous video game statistics.
And last year, it seemed like Edwin Jackson did really poorly the first inning or two. But if he could get through that, then he would kind of find his rhythm.
Yeah.
So having Edwin Jackson pitch
in the triumvirate, maybe. Right.
Although he's pitched well this year. I mean, that was kind of more of what we saw last year. We've seen the Cubs using him out of the bullpen. They're using him in short little, what am I looking for? Stints or something. Yeah. And, he seems to be doing well. I think you're kind of putting a little bit, I think by doing that, you're kind of putting more pressure on the bullpen than you would need to as well. Cause you're kind of taking two pieces of the bullpen and moving them into the rotation.
Although I think part of his theory is that then the rest of the bullpen wouldn't be needed at all that night, except for maybe the closer.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, it just seems like
It seems like, though, then that's something you would have to worry about with, like, okay, the two games before, you probably wouldn't be able to use Wood or Jackson because you're going to need them to go 3 innings. I don't know. It seems like you would just really be kind of shuffling things around a lot, and you would give yourself fewer options, especially in extra innings ball games.
Yeah.
And Wood and Jackson are both guys that, because they can pitch more and longer, those are good guys to have out there because it's just, you know, to eat up innings, or if you do get in those extra inning situations where you need somebody, especially Wood, who can hit too. So you can kind of avoid, in an extra inning situation, you can put him in there and go ahead and let him take an at bat, and you don't have to necessarily come in with a pitching substitute right away.
Yeah. I like stuff like that. I like, you know, pondering ideas like this. It'd be interesting to hear somebody with a very knowledgeable baseball mind, like Joe Maddon, for example, who has shown a willingness to experiment, answer a question like this, like just to hear what he would have to say about this idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, like on the topic of Wada remaining in the rotation, I'd like to see him get another shot at a start or two here before they go to a different option, which it looks like they are going to have some options, you know, perhaps with a Jacob Turner, you know, maybe a Don Roach, you know. Just there are some guys, you know, they could, you know, stretch out Edwin a little, you know, again. You know, there are some options.
Yep. Okay. Anything else now before we move on to questions?
I did want to mention just one last thing about just the way the Cubs have been playing too. Is June is about halfway done now, and for the month of June, the Cubs have 3 and almost 4 players with an OBP over 400. That includes Rizzo, Bryant, and DeNorfia. DeNorfia kind of a lot fewer at bats, but what's up?
I was
small sample size.
I thought you were, that's why I was like trying to sample size. I was so tempted, and I thought you'd pull me back and
small sample size.
All right, go ahead.
I wish I had picked up on your cues. I would have pulled you back a little bit. You know how much I like that song. He turns it up.
It's a small sample size. Small sample size.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
It's a small sample.
So anyway. Okay. So yeah, Dino, kind of a small sample size there. But Coughlin also has a 381 OBP for June as well. So I just was thinking about that because it seems like every time I turn around, it's like Brian is getting a walk.
Right. Yeah.
I love that dude's willingness to just take a base. You know, I mean, obviously people want to see him driving and runs, but I think it speaks to the way that he is able to wait for the pitch that he wants, and if he doesn't get it, he'll take his, you know, he'll take the walk.
Right.
You know, if you're not going to give him the pitch that he can hit out of the park or that he can do damage with, he's going to go ahead and let you put him on base. And I like that about him. Rizzo has an obscene number of hit by pitches at this point. I think it's like 14, 15, something like that. I feel that guy's just going to be a giant livid bruise like by the end of the season.
Right.
But anyway, the Cubs are getting on base. This is kind of an intimidating lineup for an opposing pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that.
And it's only going to get more intimidating as long as they stay healthy.
Right.
It's only going to get more intimidating as the season goes on.
Yeah, if you're going to get these guys out, you got to throw strikes. Otherwise, they're going to take walks.
Right. I mean, you don't have... It's not like right now they've got a bunch of power hitters like Javier Baez or Junior Lake or somebody that you can kind of like just trick them with... You know, a slider or a curveball or something. I mean, these are guys that
plate discipline is a thing, you know, for this team. Plate discipline is a thing for the 2015 Cubs, and I love that.
All right, so let's I've got a voicemail here, a couple to play, so let's play this first one right now.
Hi guys, my name is Tyson. I've enjoyed listening to your podcast, especially this year. It's been exciting and been enjoying the Cubs play as of late. I was just wondering, I was reading an article that was talking about the possible trade of Jonathan Papelbon, and saying that the Phillies want more than just getting rid of him and us taking care of his contract, that they want some sort of prospect package for him. And I do think that Papelbon is a great closer. He's consistent. He may be a little bit older, but he's a great option for us to go after. I was wondering what kind of package you guys thought were possibilities for the Cubs. I hate to see us get rid of an elite prospect for Papelbon, given his age and his shelf life. But what kind of next level, second tier prospects could you see us giving up for a guy like Jonathan Papelbon, or do you see us even giving up anything for Papelbon? Just curious how much your thoughts were. Thanks.
Well, Papelbon has what, like $8 million left on his contract this season, something like that.
Yeah,
and
next year.
Yeah, and so I would see, you know, any deal for him involving taking on a lot of that money, and first and foremost,
the Phillies taking it on.
No, I'm saying whatever team gets Papelbon, of them taking on a, you know, quite a portion of that contract.
Yeah, which means the package wouldn't be.
Yeah, which means that it wouldn't be an insane package of prospects or anything. But I could see, you know, taking on, you know, the money as well as sending a player to the Phillies, maybe a low-level prospect, as you mentioned.
Yeah, the weird thing is, like he said, Papelbon is pitching really well for the Phillies, and I think adding him would really strengthen the bullpen, and basically give the Cubs potentially three closers to work with, which could be kind of fun to watch. The Phillies, so they reportedly have been scouting the Cubs minor league players, which really isn't all that newsworthy because scouts are all over the place, and there's probably scouts for, you know, when we were at spring training, I saw a scout for the Rockies standing there and watching players. So, I mean, that just happens. It came out earlier in the week that the Mariners asked the Phillies about Ben Revere, and in return, the Phillies asked for James Paxton or Taiwan Walker.
Oh, what?
So the Phillies' expectations are pretty absurd and hilarious right now. So who knows how easy the Phillies are to work with?
Right, because Ruben Amaro doesn't seem to His understanding of just the way things work doesn't seem that great.
Right.
And let me amend my statement earlier, too, is that obviously the team would be taking on what's owed to him on his contract. But, I mean, I'm just saying that would limit the return that the Phillies would expect, you know, what they would expect in return.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of one of the benefits of what the Cubs have been able to do with just stockpiling prospects, trading away major league talent over the last two or three seasons for prospects, is Not every player that the Cubs have acquired through draft or trade prospects are going to come up with the Cubs, but it gives the Cubs a lot of options, valuable, you know, good pieces to use in situations like this. So I couldn't really guess. I mean, it's the Phillies, so I couldn't really guess.
Kind of unpredictable.
Right, what they would want. I think it would be pretty hilarious to hear what they probably want, like Schwarber and Schwarber and Baez and
yeah,
Vogelbach.
Throwing Almora, too. Right. Yeah, but I mean, we talked about this on the last podcast, too, of a lot of these players. I mean, don't get even, you know, guard yourself against becoming attached to the new prospects.
Right.
More so than in the past, because we talked about how, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, the prospects that they're picking in the first round, they see as being a cornerstone, perhaps, of the big league team going forward. Whereas some of these newer guys that they've been, you know, for example, the guys they selected in the first couple of rounds this year's draft, mm-hmm. we might be more likely to see traded away.
Right. So, I think your Bryant, Addison Russell, Schwarber, like, I kind of think those guys are, I think you can kind of get attached to those guys.
Sure.
I don't think they're going anywhere. But then your Vogelbachs.
Yeah, or even your Ian Happ, you know.
Right.
Yeah, those type of guys. You're Donnie DeWeese. We couldn't go a week without mentioning Donnie.
So we have a couple other questions here. Actually, we have another voicemail. Let me play that real quick.
Hi, this is Mike Leonard of Piqua, Ohio. I'm an avid listener and of the IBMB podcast, and I'm also a Patreon supporter. I just thought you guys might appreciate this. There was pop on sale at the store, and I went and got some, a bunch of cans. And as I was carrying the first load in, and there was a bunch more in the car, my wife said, what are we going to do with all these? And I said, shortstops. I cut her off and said, shortstops. I thought you guys might appreciate that. And she had no idea what I was talking about. And also, one more point. I'm relatively new to Twitter, but I'm on there quite a bit during the games. And one thing that drives me crazy, and I was wondering if it does anybody else, if the Cubs were 161-0 and ahead 10-0 in the ninth inning of game 162, and the Cubs pitcher goes 3-1 on the leadoff hitter, some guy on Twitter will say, the Cubs are going to Cub. And that drives me insane. Okay, thank you very much. Keep up the good work, and I'll be listening. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, just to speak to the last little item he mentioned there, it's that there's always going to be those negative people out there that are going to, you know, from their cold, dead hands, you know, you're never going to be able to pry that grip on just negative expectations away from them. But that being said, I mean, people are kind of conditioned to expecting the Cubs to not be very good. And that's something people are going to have to snap out of, and people will gradually kind of snap out of. We'll get used to hopefully a culture of success and winning, you know, in the next several years.
Well, and I think it's just in general, it's easier for people to be negative and to be sarcastic, because if you're wrong, then it's good. And if you're right, then you can be like, oh, see, it told, you know, it's right. Just, I don't know. There's something. Negativity, Twitter has
you're
kind of
taking a risk by being optimistic.
That's true.
More of a risk, I guess.
Yeah. No, you're right. And then I really did enjoy the, what are we going to do with all these shortstops?
Yeah. Corner outfielders is the new, what are we going to do with all these?
Yeah. We have one more voicemail that, as I mentioned, just came in a couple seconds ago, so we haven't even listened to it yet. And we really do enjoy these voicemails. Sometimes if they involve a question that would require, you know, us a response from us, we will, you know, play it during the episode. But otherwise, we kind of I like to hold on to them, play them after the episode. But so I'm not sure who it's from, and I'm not sure what they're saying. And so maybe this will be edited. Like, you guys suck. Actually, I would probably leave that in there. So yeah, here's this one.
Hey guys, JP from Aurora, first time caller, long time listener. Just wanted to thank you guys for your continued, perspective that you bring to the team and to the game. And if you haven't interviewed Gleyber Torres, hopefully you get a chance to tell him that we can't wait to hear the stats that a young guy's putting up against the older guys in Myrtle Beach. Also wondering if you might be able to tell me one thing you guys would focus on if you're going to the game tomorrow night against the Indians. And then the big question I've got is some of that perspective. Really not understanding all the talk that I'm hearing from analysts and Cubs fans, and maybe you can tell me I'm onto something or where I'm going wrong here. But the talk that I'm hearing is that we need to make a trade to bolster our bullpen because our starters don't go longer than 4 to 4.5 innings. My first thought is that relievers aren't going to fix your starters, number one. Number two, no injury has been season ending so far. So you're going to have a much better team when these injured players come back. And then on top of that, the relievers over the past few weeks have actually had a great record. I think their ERA is under 1.5. I think Rondon got beat up a little bit for Friday's game, but he did what your relievers are supposed to do. I mean, he got him to hit grounders and pop flies, and if your defense can't pick up those plays, that shouldn't be on Rondon. If you can't strike him out, those are the plays you want him to get. And then, again, your injured players should be coming back, so you should have Olt, who's been hitting recently. You should have Baez, I would hope, by the end of the season, the way he was playing before he got injured. I'd love to see Alcantara in the mix. You should have Ramirez by the end. Soriano coming, next month, I've heard. And hopefully C.J. Edwards by the end of the year also.
Carl Edwards Jr., by the way.
I don't understand why people want us to leverage our future when our team already has a wild card in hand and they've been playing, they haven't been playing on all cylinders. So I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Okay, so a few things here. First off, he asked what we would be looking at with the Indians game tomorrow on Monday.
Well, it's an Arrieta start.
Right, and that's so, what I was going
to
say.
Well, yeah, we'd like to see him. You know, he gave up that 3-run homer in an otherwise great outing the other day, so we'd like to see him not do that. But at any rate, you know, it's going to be fun. We haven't seen the Cubs against a lot of American League competition this season yet so far. What are they going to do with the designated hitter spot again? Is it going to be, you know, Mike Baxter again?
It's at Wrigley.
Oh, it's at Wrigley. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So never mind. So that's not a concern, but, I'd just like to continue to see them be that dangerous offensive team. We talked about how much they've been getting on base and just continue to do that. I'd really like to see Rizzo and Bryant go deep again. I mean, it's kind of been some of the other guys, Montero, Coughlin, Fowler hit a homer the other day. I'd like to see Bryant and Rizzo driving some runs via the home run in this series. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's Arrieta start, and it would be awesome for the Cubs to take today's game, Sunday night's game, take 3 out of 4 from the Reds, and just kind of the Cardinals aren't losing. We've got it. We need every game to make up any ground with them. And so I think the Cardinals will lose at some point this season. Like, I think things have got to slow down for them, but I would love to see the Cubs just kind of chip away, which I've been saying the last couple weeks and just hasn't happened. I mean, the Cubs haven't lost ground, but they're just not making any up. So I guess that's what I would look for in tomorrow's game, specifically the Jake Arrieta start, and then in general this 4-game series, is just see him try to chip away a little bit at that Cardinals lead. He also asked why we would need to pump up the bullpen.
He made a good point, is that another new reliever isn't going to fix the starters not going deep into the games, and I think that's a great point. You're absolutely right, is that having Papelbon all of a sudden isn't going to fix the starters not going deep.
I just think what it is the more good pieces you can put in the bullpen allows you to kind of get through, like a month and a half ago, the Cubs hit that really rough stretch with the bullpen.
Yeah.
And kind of, I think the way the bullpen is playing right now is probably adequate, but you have to think ahead as to, okay, so let's say Ramirez is back. Then, you know, say you lose Ramirez and Grimm again, and let's say you lose Strope or Rondon. You need to have pieces at your disposal late in the season,
yeah,
to ensure that if there's a wild card position in place, that it's still there. So I think it's kind of more of like a precautionary or preventative thing. And I mean, right now the Cubs have Edwin Jackson in the bullpen. You know, I mean, there are some bullpen pieces right now that they could get rid of or trade. You could trade Travis Wood. Sure. I mean, there are some pieces that are there just because
that could be upgraded, because, is sort of what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for the voicemails, guys. We appreciate it. It's always, I don't know, I kind of enjoy hearing other people's voices on the podcast. I'm assuming our listeners enjoy hearing other people's voices too. Let's see. I hope I'm not skipping. We're kind of jumping around here in the notes. Let's take this. This one's from Adam in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He says, he said, for an upcoming episode, can I put in a request for some old-fashioned Jim Hendry bashing in light of Chris Archer's obscene numbers over the last three outings for Tampa? How great would Archer look in a Cub uniform right now? I've always liked Chris Archer a lot. Saw him pitch in Peoria.
Saw him in the minors.
Yeah, when he was with the Chiefs, and they were a Cubs affiliate. So he got traded after his season at Double A. That season he had a 1.80 ERA, so pitched pretty well. But his FIP was almost two runs higher. He was issuing a lot of walks early in his career in the Cubs system, but he is damn good right now. For the season, he has an even two ERA. His FIP is 2.08. He's striking out over 11 per nine innings, walking just over two per nine. So pitching really well right now. And I think he's still only like 25 or 26. So he was part of that big trade after the 2010 season. If you don't remember, the Cubs kind of put a decent run together at the end of that 2010 season. Mike Quadi was the interim manager, and Jim Hendry wanted a big starter. And so he went out and got Matt Garza. And basically in this deal, Hendry got owned by Andrew Friedman. So the Cubs got Garza, Fernando Perez. Miss old Fernando.
Yeah, we miss him.
Ivy Envy favorite.
Still follow him on social media.
Yeah. And Zach Roscup. So those are the three players the Cubs got. The Rays got Chris Archer, Sam Fold, Robinson Chirinos, and Hawk Julie. I wish that the Cubs had Archer. I mean, obviously Archer is in that group, has become the one that you really wish. I don't know. I don't find myself wishing for Sam Fold, really, or Hawk Julie, but you really wish the Cubs had Archer right now. And that rotation would look really good.
Yeah, it would.
With Archer. I don't know. It's kind of depressing now that you bring that up, Adam. I kind of like, every time I hear anything about Chris Archer, I try to forget that he was in the Cubs system. And the second question that Adam sent us says, the Phillies are terrible. Suppose Ryan Sandberg gets fired. Seems likely. Now suppose the Cubs hired him. In what position would you most want to see Ryan Sandberg within the Cubs organization? I would say bench coach, but I don't know that I want to mess with Joe Maddon's mojo in any way. Maybe back again as Iowa Cubs manager.
Maybe Sandberg and Dave Martinez could be co-bench coaches.
Obviously, Ryan Sandberg is my favorite player growing up. I don't have any desire to see him really back in the organization. I mean, if they wanted to make him like, you know, assistant to the GM or something like that.
Right, something, some sort of front office function where he could still work with the players at times, like the young players in spring training.
I don't think that's necessarily what he wants to do. I think he wants to manage. And if he does get fired from the Phillies, what's going on with the Phillies is in no way his fault.
No, man, the hand that he was dealt.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm okay with not seeing Ryan Sandberg right now. I'm okay with, I mean,
Man. You said it with not messing with Madden's mojo. I mean, right. It just seems like they have a good thing going with right. the staff they have assembled there already. So we love Sandberg, but I mean, it's not, once again, like the timing's not right to bring him into the organ, you know, as far as
right.
a big league coaching staff type of guy.
Yeah. JP here has a question. He said, if you could bring up three players right now, who would they be and who would you send down? Also the same question with free agency. If it was the off season right now, who would be ideal, yet still reasonable expectations? Who would be the ideal 2-3 signings and who would they replace on the 25 man? I actually kind of missed that he talked about free agency. So I haven't even thought about that necessarily. No, how about just like three good starters? I just want more good starting pitching.
Yeah.
Well, for as far as who's in the system now, who would I want brought up? How about a healthy Javier Baez, Kyle Schwarber, and CJ Edwards, Carl Edwards Jr., sorry, with an honorable mention to Don Roach.
Yeah, I like that. That's about what I would.
That's not really taking like positions into consideration or anything like that. But and then sending down Herrera, Baxter, and Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like he asked which guys you would replace on the 25 man. Those would be the ones.
Yeah, I would say Herrera and Baxter have to be the first to go.
Right.
I mean, no offense to them.
No, I mean they've Baxter.
I mean, if those guys are listening, hey, we appreciate the work you're putting done. In.
Yeah. You should have. That ball should have dropped for a hit, you know, and
right.
the other night, John, JH. All right, we have an email here from that comes all the way from Brazil, from Rafael, and he wrote, in the episode 7.26, you talked about what kind of interaction or conversation would be possible with another Cubs fan. Interesting story about that. I'm from Brazil and live in Brazil. I'm probably the only Cubs fan in a few hundred kilometers ratio and a huge one. So once I got the chance to travel to Chicago in 2012 and watch a few Cubs games, I was sure that I would talk to everyone there, go to bars, and have a real experience. Nope. I understand that the situation was really different. The Cubs weren't playing anything close to good baseball, so it was not a happy atmosphere. Also, I probably didn't get to go to the right places, both in and out of Wrigley, but it was kind of frustrating to go to the game and not being able to talk to anyone. I was traveling alone and tried some small talks, but I can say when the other person doesn't want to talk at all. The second time I went to the U.S. last December, it was off season, and I crossed the country from New York to San Francisco. I had a lot of Cubs gear with me, and there was some kind of Cubs interaction in places like Indiana, Vegas, and even San Francisco. All that story to ask, do you guys have some sort of tip to someone traveling alone? The right places to go, for example, to be in the right environment for a Cubs game? Also, I don't know for sure if it is something well known, but in December when I was in Chicago, I looked for some Cubs stuff to do near Wrigley and found this awesome place in 1143 West Addison. It's a little store that it's owned for two kind men that are for sure more than 70 years old and have a lot of stories and that sells lots and lots of Cubs memorabilia, and the owners themselves have a lot to tell too. I really recommend that. Thanks for the awesome work. And that is from, as I said, Rafael Meireles. I don't know. I'm sorry, Rafael. I'm having trouble with that one.
He also says, I dare you to speak it. He wanted to hear us butcher his last name. You did it better than I would have.
Meireles. Meireles, I think. Oh, man.
Yeah, as far as like tips for traveling alone, pretty much, you know, I travel quite a bit. For work and with the family and stuff. And so, if we go anywhere, I wear Cubs stuff, just because I don't know. I enjoy seeing I like being places like on the road and you can see like where people are from and like, I don't know. I kind of like traveling and then you see like a dad wearing like a Pirates hat or something, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I just kind of like that. So I think you're on the right track by just wearing stuff. People are going to strike up conversations, especially outside of the area. I mean, there have been we go to California in the summers and I'm always wearing a Cubs hat or something. And frequently I have people strike up a conversation that, you know, other Cubs fans and stuff. So I think that's a good thing. And I kind of sucks that experience wasn't that great at Wrigley Field or around Wrigley. And maybe that's part of being in a bigger city. I can't really say as I've ever struck up a conversation with somebody sitting around me at Wrigley.
Yeah, every once in a while, maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's absolutely right in saying that it's going to be, there's going to be more camaraderie and it's going to be more fun to be a Cubs fan, both in Chicago and outside of Chicago, right, as the team gets better. And you just got to go to places where people are watching the game together. I think that's important.
Yep.
Because that's where you're going to find conversation and camaraderie about the Cubs. And I know that's hard to do down there in Sao Paulo, but,
well, and he talked about how to find groups. I mean, really, like, the internet has really made things a lot better. I remember, like, when I lived in California, I could not find a Cubs bar. And this was in 03. And I wanted to find a Cubs bar to watch the playoffs in 03. And I could not find anything. Now, you know, I'll go out before we go to California. I'll look at Cubs bar in the area I'm going to. And you can usually find, like, we're going to go to Houston. And I just did Cubs bar Houston and I found three of them. So just, you know, looking around.
If you find yourself in the U.S. again, it's going to be easier to find Cubs-related locations to go visit
and
find people of a similar, you know, have similar affinities.
Right. Especially as the Cubs are getting better, more and more sports bars are going to realize the, you know, hey, we can be a Cubs bar and get people in here. So I think that'll happen too. This is what next one comes from Matt. And he says, what role, and Matt's from, is he from Australia or New Zealand? Yeah, I think he's from Australia. Pretty positive.
Well, the next, James, the next one's from Australia.
I think Matt is too, though.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah.
He says, what role does the catcher play in getting into the heads of opposing hitters? Does this happen at all? He says, I'm a wicket keeper in cricket. He says that's similar to being a catcher in mental games, sledging. Are a big part of our sport. Sledging comes from many forms, some legitimate and some are below the belt. Enter mum joke here.
Joking about flowers? Oh, okay, I get it.
Just wondering if this happens at all in baseball. It doesn't seem to. I can imagine it would be extremely effective on the right hitter. I honestly don't know. It doesn't seem like it happens too much. The only time you see it happening is maybe in movies and stuff.
Right.
I would imagine that there's some sort of something going on. It's part of some player's
game. You have to imagine. For example, like Ichiro is pretty well known for speaking Spanish to Spanish-speaking players when he's on base.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing some of the catchers probably talk some trash.
Sledge
the opposing team a little bit.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I mean, it's just, I didn't play baseball at a high enough level to know. I go to minor league games, and I've gone to minor league games, you know, early in the year, April, when it's freezing cold and there's like 10 people in the stands, and I don't, where you can hear pretty much everything going on. I've never heard that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, but when you see incidents like what would have prompted Jorge Soler to grab a bat and head towards the opposing dugout.
Right, right.
You know, obviously there's some trash talking there. What would have prompted Junior Lake to, you know,
turn back around to the catcher.
Yeah, have his little scene with the, forget what team they're playing, Padres maybe?
Man, I can't even remember.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But sledging goes on, but I don't know. It seems like there's a lot more of, okay, we're punching the clock at the office type of talk.
Right. Yeah.
Or, you know, it's this kind of professional courtesy and just, hey, what's up type of chatter.
Yeah.
But there obviously are players that don't like each other that, you know, how about Rizzo taking in at bat against Aroldis Chapman the other night and last night actually, and striking out, and the stare that he gave Chapman as he was walking away was.
Right. There's a history there.
Yeah. There's a history, but. Yeah, interesting question. I don't think we see it as much as maybe.
Well, and if anybody that's listening knows the answer to that, call in and let us know, especially if you played maybe minor league ball or upper, you know, levels of amateur ball or something like that. And you might know, or if you've seen it happen at big league games, I'd be interested in knowing. It's a good question.
If we get to talk to Cale Brockmeyer today, maybe we can ask him too.
Yeah, there you go. James is from Australia, and he says, on a scale of 0 to Will Ferrell, how do you feel about black eye markings that Coughlin rocks? I don't, you know, I kind of, I like eye black, But yeah. I kind of like the old school, like just a finger swipe right. of eye black. I don't like the like tape.
The stickers
one.
With Cubs yeah. logo on them. Yeah. yeah. That's kind of lame, but.
I think the like just old fashioned, like just take a swipe of sure. eye black. I think that looks cool.
Anything.
I don't, that, you don't see players do that. You yeah. see football players.
Anything that looks old school.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into, you know, like.
Like high socks, high no socks. Gloves, like Mark Grace, you know.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. All right. Well, Kurt is not on this episode. So I don't have a scary stat of the week. Do you, Andy?
No, mine was, I mean, I guess you could consider the Cubs OBP for, you know, some of the Cubs players OBP for June.
Right.
As our scary stat of the week.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks to everybody that sent in questions. Hopefully I didn't miss any. They're kind of scattered for me this week. So I think we got them all, but if we didn't, we apologize. And again, you can leave us voicemails through our app, iOS and Android app. You can just click contact the show and then call, and it goes straight to our voicemail. I won't answer, so don't worry about that. Actually, you know what's funny? Did I talk about this, how I accidentally answered someone calling in? It showed up on my phone through Skype right as I was like doing something on my phone, and I accidentally answered it. So I hung up real quick. I can't remember who it was, but I apologize if that was you. I promise I will not answer. It would be just terribly awkward for both of us, I'm sure. And then also I ask for questions typically on Sunday mornings through our Facebook and Twitter. I do have an internet muscle flex. Do you have one, Andy?
No.
Okay. So this week's internet muscle flex comes from Cubs Instagram, and there is a picture. I'll kind of show it to you across the room here.
Oh, is it the one of the baby?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's a different one.
Oh, okay. So this is like a little girl sitting on home plate with a ball in her hands.
Oh, no.
Like just a little girl sitting on home plate. And
I can already see where this is going.
So this person, I mean, it's a cute picture, you know, one that like probably anybody that has a kid would think, oh man, I wish I could get a picture of my kid sitting on home plate at Wrigley Field, you know? So this person says, and I should mention, of course, that the girl is holding a ball. So this person, the caption for it that the Cubs wrote said safe. And then it said, catch in the confines, # catch in the confines. So the Cubs are saying she's safe. And this person comments and says, technically she is applying a tag to herself. Thus she is out.
The kid's been flexed.
So yeah, thanks for bringing it back to reality, you know, cause it really, yeah. All right. So, that does it for this week's episode. And, we kind of have to get out of here, so I don't have time to read all of the Hall of Fame level Patreon contributors, but Patreon is a way for our listeners to help us keep this podcast going and helps us do some of the cool things we've been able to do to make everyone's IVMV experience better. We really appreciate all the support, and if you would like to take some ownership in this podcast and help us keep improving things, then check out our Patreon campaign. For just $1 a month, it really does help us out quite a bit. And if you're not able to make it to any of these meetups that we're doing this summer, and if you, let's pretend you were there, and if you would buy one of us a beer at a meetup, then just put that money towards our Patreon campaign. That you're doing the same thing there. Actually, you're helping IVMV more and probably helping our liver more by putting it towards the Patreon. So
you share a liver.
right. So you can check it out at patreon.com/IAVMB. That's patreon.com/IAVMB. So tonight the Cubs wrap up this series at Wrigley with Cincinnati. This will probably be posted after that game. So sorry if something incredible happens. We aren't commenting on it because this was recorded in the afternoon. So the Cubs host the Indians now for a 4-game series. Andy and I will be back with comments on that series and anything that happens with the Cubs between now and then on Wednesday evening. And I'm not even going to worry about the Blackhawks conflicting with that recording because they're going to take the series in 6.
Yep.
It's going to be done. So until Wednesday night, go Cubs. Go Cubs.